This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. All this hour, we've been hearing about demonization, the rift between us, whoever we are, and them, the outgroup, the other. But in midterm contests across the country this year, one of the most sinister and invasive others isn't an outgroup, it's an outplace. California,
make no mistake about it, if I don't win this race, we will be turning into what? California, okay?
She's backed by billionaires and socialists who want to make Georgia into California.
And just the other day, he was asked about his economic vision, and he said that he thought the government policy in California was the model.
From Nevada to Georgia to Florida and states in between, the disloyal opposition is California, and one Californian in particular. You might be familiar with her. She favors pearls.
Hollywood celebrities who are blinded by their hatred of the president. Nancy Pelosi and the Washington Democrats answer to them. There's no new agenda. Behind the poll-tested slogan are the same old liberal ideas. Single-payer healthcare, sanctuary cities, job-crushing taxes, and big cuts to our military. Pelosi's San Francisco values are wrong for America.
Not a brand new nemesis, of course. Pelosi became a prominent target during the 2006 midterms, when Republicans warned that if she became Speaker of the House, the sweet promise of America would turn sour.
Now, I mean, Nancy Pelosi represents a San Francisco value system.
Fast forward 12 years, and it's less a coded warning about gay rights and permissive social policies, and more about Trump and how the state is challenging the president on everything from car emission standards to immigration policy to legalizing weed.
Not my president! Not my president!
The California Republic versus President Trump.
The resistance is legion.
Some of that resistance is manifesting in out-of-state donations to key races that are deemed Trump referendums. Take, for instance, the Senate contest in Texas, where Ted Cruz is facing a challenge from Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who is breaking fundraising records.
We are seeing tens of millions of dollars flooding into the state of Texas from liberals all over the country who desperately want to turn the state of Texas blue. They want us to be just like California. Right down to tofu and silicon and dyed hair.
Well, two things. It's true that O'Rourke has gotten a lot of cash from out of state, but so has Cruz. Who's gotten more is actually up for debate, though a Dallas Morning News analysis of itemized donations shows that it's Cruz. The other thing, silicone and dyed hair. Has Cruz never been to Dallas?
Well, Ted's from Canada. You have to keep that in mind. So he's still adjusting to the entire United States, I believe.
Lawrence Wright is a staff writer for The New Yorker and author of God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. He says the anti-California talking point may even have originated in Texas.
As a way to defend against the assault on government. And, you know, in order to keep taxes low at the expense of government services, you have to create a kind of a boogeyman. And the boogeyman is California.
The truth is, Texas is being Californiaized.
Perhaps no Texan talks about California more than Governor Greg Abbott.
It's being done at the city level with bag bans, fracking bans, tree cutting bans. We're forming a patchwork quilt of bans and rules and regulations that is eroding the Texas model.
You know, when I was young, Texas was blue and California was red. Texas, you know, produced Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society, and California produced Ronald Reagan and the modern conservative revolution.
Actually, I think you could spend a lifetime just seeing and getting to know California. Someone has said California isn't a place, it's a way of life. Well, that's true, and it's a good way.
These states are mirror images in some ways, kind of like strands of DNA, like a double helix. You know, they revolve around each other. They never coincide, but they're always in a relationship. And it says a lot about the dynamism of our country, the laboratories of democracy the states are supposed to be. I remember Rick Perry, our former governor, used to call it lavatories of democracy. I think he might. I don't know if he meant that or not.
You left out that they're like the number one and number two largest states in population. And yet, California elects virtually no Republicans statewide, and Texas elects virtually no Democrats. If there are so many similarities, why are they mirror images and not exact political duplicates?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think they've always been in opposition to each other, and they reflect the kind of political opposition that often characterizes our country. When I was young, we looked at California as a kind of hotbed of right-wing fanaticism. Of course, I lived in Dallas, which was a hotbed of right-wing fanaticism, but it felt akin to what was going on in California. You know,
it was the home of the John Birch Society.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that we had in common, but I don't know, we always seemed to run to the corners.
Wright and Governor Abbott don't agree on much, but both believe the struggle between California and Texas is the struggle over the soul of America.
There is a growing divide in this country that is epitomized by the difference between California and Texas. There is a divide between capitalism on the one hand and socialism on the other hand.
California as a socialist paradise. That's also a refrain deep in the heart of Florida.
They have massive taxes on all levels.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Ron DeSantis.
Stiff state income tax for middle-income people. And in fact, they've really hollowed out the middle class in California because of all the burdens imposed on government.
In other words, a failed socialist nightmare where government regulation is onerous and taxpayer money is squandered. Is the state paying people to surf?
Unfortunately, we have not moved into a place where anybody's being paid to surf unless they're professional surfers.
Marisa Lagos is co-host of the Political Breakdown podcast and a political reporter at San Francisco's KQED.
No, this is not a socialist state. It certainly, I think, is more progressive and generous when it comes to a lot of, you know, the public welfare programs that maybe states like Florida have not embraced, but I wouldn't call it a socialist state.
Furthermore, as failed states go, it's doing pretty well. California has a $9 billion budget surplus this year, a big turnaround from the $27 billion deficit when Democrat Jerry Brown took over from Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger in 2011. But if not a socialist nightmare, not necessarily a paradise either.
I think that there is, in some ways, you know, a sort of a tale of two Californias here, to borrow some politicians' lines. Housing is a big problem here, and I think that that is something that we're seeing a lot of people grapple with when it comes time for them to maybe want to put down roots and raise a family. Is that even possible in a region like the Bay Area?
California's homeless population jumped by 14% between 2016 and 2017, and yes, taxes are high. And so some Californians have taken to moving out, many in search of cheaper real estate, 1 million of them in a 9-year stretch. Not in caravans, but maybe Priuses.
I would say the traffic is the biggest thing.
And many feel they're bringing bad driving habits.
They still drive like they're in California.
In 2015, 25% of newcomers to Idaho, one of the fastest growing states in the country, were from California. And they weren't all pot-smoking LGBT pro-choicers. This from Fox News Channel.
There's one Republican who said he is done with California and decided to move to Texas. Once he figured out a lot of people did the same thing, he started a company called Conservative Move to help his fellow conservatives move to more like-minded states.
Great schools, great jobs, low crime. Those things don't exist in the liberal bastions of California where we escaped from.
So far, you've just talked about California. Are you encouraging people to move from, like, New York, for example, or New Jersey, or Connecticut, or Massachusetts, for heaven's sake?
Still, truth be told, the electoral edge created by expats does fall to the Democrats, at least in Colorado, where California is a hot-button issue in the governor's race.
Radical. Now add this. Radic California?
That's what you get when you bring radical left-wing policies to your state.
Oh, policies that already failed.
2004 was actually the last year that Colorado voted for a Republican in the presidential race. Democrats have held at least one chamber of the state house for a while now, and there's a decent chance they'll have unified control of the state government here after next week's elections.
Seth Maskett is a professor of political science at the University of Denver and the director of the Center on American Politics there. The California migration, he says, is one of the reasons Colorado is trending from purple to blue. And he should know, because if Californiaism is a disease, he is a pathogen, from Berkeley, no less.
When I first moved here, for example, it was almost impossible to buy alcohol on a Sunday. And there's been changes in the law surrounding that. It's now obviously legal to purchase recreational marijuana here. Colorado is actually ahead of California on that curve. The style of life has been pretty dramatically transformed just in the last decade.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you actually came from California in order to destroy the fabric of Coloradan culture, or if that was just collateral damage.
I assure you that was not my intention. It was purely for economic reasons.
But look here. Many of the tens of thousands of Angelenos and Bay Areans who fled to enjoy lower housing costs have themselves driven the price of Denver real estate through the roof. If you're a Coloradan who can't afford to buy a home or stay in your rental, how not to blame Californication? And how can politicians not seize on the resentment about the George Soros of states?
It's become just kind of a classic boogeyman that it almost doesn't need to even mean anything anymore. People just use the words and it means whatever horrible thing you want it to mean.
You know, I'm in a band and the drummer in our band on his drum kit has a sticker that says, "Don't Californicate Texas music." I have no idea what that means.
Journalist Lawrence Wright.
So it's a buzzword. It's a trope for, you know, the outsider, the other. And it's also one of those chest-thumping Texas-isms.
I must ask you this. You live in Austin and you're in a band. Is band membership mandatory there?
It's not. It's kind of like the military. It's a volunteer organization. You don't have to serve, but you'd be wise to do so. You know, the music in Austin is really such a deep part of the city, and I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of that.
And if you lived in L.A., you know what you'd be a part of? Pilates.
Don't look down at it. I do Pilates as well. I guess that's part of our L.A. experience here in Austin.
Ugh. See? It's everywhere. That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Loewinger, Leia Fetter, John Hanrahan, and Asta Chattavredi. We had more help from Samantha Maldonado, and our show was edited this week by our executive producer, Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Sam Baer and Josh Hahn. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. Brooke Gladstone will be back next week. I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.